Mark, the 11th chapter, and verse 22. You know, we look at certain messages and certain thoughts, but the last four words of this verse is, have faith in God. So if we were to read the beginning of the chapter, we would see a reason. But he didn't say pray and ask God for faith. He said have faith in God. You have to lay hold on faith. You got to take it. You got to possess it. Have to lay hold on something, possess, own, to hold, or have a hold in your hand. I have faith in God. I have laid hold of the faith of God. And I possess it and hold it in my hand, in my head, and in my heart. Have faith in God. People say today, you got to have faith. Wrong. You need to have faith in God. I got faith that my car will take me to Georgia. I wouldn't put my wife in it. But it don't mean you will. But I have faith in God that whatever my need is, He will provide it, and I can hold to that. Amen. We walk by faith in God, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7. Faith in God is your victory, 1 John 5:4. And the just shall live by faith in God, according to Galatians 3:11. So we see that we walk by faith in God. Faith in God is your victory, and the just shall live by faith in God. I don't know what tomorrow is. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I can say with authority that the faith of God will be sufficient tomorrow, whatever happens. What happens is people talk about doing it by faith and leave out in God. I've taken this new adventure. I've opened up this new business. I've got faith. But have you prayed about it? Do you have faith that is God's will? Anything that is God's will, He'll bless. I don't care what it is. If it's God's will for my wife, next week, to find out the cancer is still gone, she'll be without cancer. Because that's the way God works. Now, see, so in my beginning thought was, you know, is that He didn't say pray and ask God for faith. I'm talking to saved people right now. How were you saved? You believe that Christ died for you, was buried for you, and rose for you. I believe that front pew will hold me. I have faith that front pew will hold me. How do I know? It's when I get behind the pulpit, I go to that front pew, and I sit down. The moment I sit down on this front pew, I have proven my faith in action. We talk about our faith, but I can't do this because I don't know. Is God in it? Is God in it? God said, what happens is people talk about doing it by faith and leave God out. in Mark, the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse, where it said, have faith in God. Have faith. Have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith works by the God kind of love. Let's repeat that again. Have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith works by the God kind of love. The only person that I love more than my wife is my God.
Amen.
And she'll say the same thing. Because it was God that brought us together. And Lord knows it was God that has kept us together.
Amen.
In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, Paul said here, writing to the church, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcision, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you that are justified by the law and fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. I believe my faith in God is sufficient to live for God. I believe my faith in God gives me strength. Gives me grace. It's a gift from God that I can look at whatever happens and know, thus said the Lord, it was His will. They don't have faith in God. They have faith in the law. And without faith in God, the anointed one of His anointing will profit nothing. You know, it's like these little fake healers. The only way you can get healed is for Him to touch you. Then the healing is in Him. But the healing is in God, the great physician.
Amen.
And our faith in God. I'll share with you. When I pray for Sister Shirley, 100 years, Linda, or Jim, or any others, I'd use my wife. I ask, if it be your will, Lord, touch Sister Shirley. But I don't stop there. I take it one step further, and I say, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. God already knows whether I believe what I preach or what I pray or not. But I want to remind myself when I pray to thank you, God, for what you're going to do, that I believe that He is able to do what I have asked Him to do. Faith works by this. I only do what the Father shows me to do and say what the Father tells me to say. That's what makes faith work, because that is what love is, doing what the Father told you to do. Somewhere in the Scripture where God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, according to John, the 14th chapter, John, the 14th chapter, we'll know that's what it says, but let's look at it in John 14 and verse 21. God said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Faith is a personal relationship between me and my God. The opposite of love disables faith, strife, division, unforgiveness, being critical, or faith killers. In other words, a negative attitude is a faith killer. And I've never seen as many Christians or so-called Christians in my 50-some years being in the ministry to see people through their action doubting what God can do. Remember, the opposite of love disables. You got to have love. You got to love God. And you love God because he first loved you. And when you have an active love in your life, and faith will work. Strife is no longer there. Division is no longer there. Unforgiveness is no longer there. Being critical are faith killers. I think I used this illustration Wednesday night or last Wednesday night. But anyway, used to live down in Muddy Ford. That's where I was born and raised. Couldn't even tell you who she was, but it was a lady that they called the lady of the night, you know, that type lady. She'd walk up and down the road. Everybody talked about her. The only thing I ever heard my dad say was a compliment. He would say, she sure got pretty hair, or she dresses nice, you know. See, we choose to be critical. We really do. Because if we spend so much time criticizing, what it is saying that God is not able to help that person, and he helped me because I'm something special, and I love every one of you in this building, but there's none of you special. You're sinners, some lost, some saved. Amen. We're just sinners by the grace of God. And if it wasn't from the grace of God, you that are saved now would still be lost.
Amen. That's right. That's Bible.
Your faith is one of the most precious things that you have, and you got to protect your faith from things that would harm it. Believe me. All Satan has got to do is to affect your belief. 1 Peter 1:7. God said here that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen? That the trial of your faith. If you're, right now, every one of you, you're going through a trial, you're coming out of a trial, or you're in a trial. Every one of us. Well, everything is wonderful. Don't get too haughty because it won't be all time. Because when everything goes so right, we depend on God less. The trial of your faith much more precious than gold. Proverbs 20, verse 6 talks about a faithful man. Who can you find? Who can find a faithful man? Luke 18, 8 said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? See, it's no problem living the Christian life as long as everything is good. It's no big thing that if I start having heart problems, I'll ask the Lord to help me. But what if I'm not having any heart problems? I don't have any headache. I don't have no backache. Shouldn't I say, thank you, God, for being with me today? Thank you, God, for saving my soul.
Amen.
It's like the things that you have on your phone that can drain your battery quickly. You know, when you look in your phone and your phone is slow and you check it and you got about 96 or 106 spams that the spam blocker is supposed to take care of, but I think the spam blocker is just making worse. But right, wrong, or indifference. We want to get it off so our phone will be as fast as it can be. You can't worship God if you're struggling with what's going on in your life. God said, we have to understand our enemy. And your faith is the biggest threat to being triumphant in your life. Because God said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't care how many times you read the Bible. I don't care how many verses you know. I don't care how many times you've been to Sunday school. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God said, if you're sick, pray. You got a problem, ask. You have to understand this about your enemy. Your faith is the biggest threat to your spiritual life. There are people who love God and love one another that knows nothing about faith, and the enemy just walks over them. Talking to a gentleman this week, and I was telling him, we've got to go back to Georgia, Chancellor Center. They want to personally check everything. After we got finished talking, he said he was a church member. I said, would you remember my wife in your prayers? He said, I can't pray for anybody. Why not? I'm not living the way I should be living. Why not? Oh, you don't have time for me to list all the problems I've got. I said, are you truly saved? He said, yes, I'm truly saved. I'm just out of the will of God terribly. Then you need a big dose of faith. God said he would not put more on you than you can bear. Did he not say that? I believe he did, preacher. Why don't we take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there? Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew, the third chapter. Matthew, the third chapter and the sixth verse. No. I would say I need my license changed, but I said, got a new power. Let's turn to Hebrews. They weren't too far apart, were they? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6 says, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Matthew 4:14 Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. See, we need to hold fast. God changes not. The enemy is interested in disabling your faith, and that's why he puts such an emphasis on targeting your love walk. You know what your love walk is? That's what gets your energy. What do you spend more time and energy on? My wife was going to make something a while back for some type of pie. And she said, but I don't have this ingredient. You got to go to the store. I said, just leave that ingredient out. She said, we can't do that. Can't do that. Well, the one little ingredient in our life that we leave out too much is faith in the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know what your problem is. You don't know what all my problems are. But I've got faith that my God is bigger than my problem.
Amen.
God tells us in the book of James. Notice with me, please. James chapter 3 and verse 16. James chapter 3 and verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Notice what God said. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. What I like in verse 17 is without partiality. God's not a respecter of persons. I pray for everybody that asks me to pray. But we need to be in condition to pray for ourselves as well.
Amen.
Because there's nobody in this room knows me as well as I know me. And there's nobody in this room, including me, that knows me like God knows me. The evil one. How do you get rid of the evil one? Well, according to 1 Peter 5:9, you resist him in faith. There's every evil work because love isn't in place to make faith go, to make him go. See, we have got to have faith that is a working faith. And that's what God tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe, verse 9. 1 Peter 5:9, the Lord said, "Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." See, sometimes, and I always go to talk to somebody that asks me to come, and before I leave, sometime that individual will say, "You're right. That's what my mother told me. She said, you know, you got these problems. You need to come to church." He said, "Don't you want them to come to church with problems?" "Sure I do." But the church isn't the answer to your problems. It's the one you're going to meet here. See, there's a lot of people, even in this church, has came and gone because they felt that somebody told them if they would join the church and show up that there never would be any more problems. But you know what I've got to tell people sometimes? You may have more problems. The alcoholic doesn't know he's got a problem until he's ate up and he's dying, and the doctor says your problem is you're drinking. Our problem is that we don't trust Jesus. We're going to be people with exceedingly faith, and you know, but life is a struggle, church. Note with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Now, notice here. God said that we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. I hope you understand this next statement. I can understand a saved brother or sister a lot better than I can a lost fleshly brother or sister. We are to be able to talk our problems out.
Amen.
I've got a new slogan I'm going to put on my card. I was going to bring it. I went off and left it on my desk. But this is the house of God where people come to get saved where people come to get forgiven, where people come to have their faith renewed and their joy renewed. We all have one thing in common if we're saved. We've got the same Savior.
Amen.
And I've heard church members say, I can't get along with so-and-so because we have nothing in common. Then one of you lost. The greatest link in the world ought to be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, you know, as we prepare to close here in a few minutes, Mark 11:25, you know. Oh, what a verse. Mark 11. And verse 25. Notice. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, is there a stipulation there or am I reading into it? Let's read it again. When he stand praying, forgive if he have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. See, I believe every portion of the scripture. We used to have early service. So we'd have the Lord's Supper. And I'd always go to another church if I could and hear some preaching. And I went to a church in Lexington and they were having the Lord's Supper. And I noticed, you know, they didn't offer it to me and I was thankful they didn't. But, you know, when the two men came up and the pastor offered him one and he didn't take it and the other one took it, and then they passed the bread, and he didn't take it. And my question is, why did you ask him? I don't believe that you ought to serve the Lord's bread if you're not able to take the Lord's bread.
Amen.
Because it wasn't my church, I wasn't the pastor. See, our action speaks loud. God said in Mark 11:25, but we go up to verse 23, you know, and for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I believe the teaching of verse 23 is that we are to believe God is going to answer our prayer. And we expect God to answer our prayer. And I say, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to answer my prayer. That prayer may destroy me. That prayer may affect me. But why are you praying if you don't believe God's going to answer you? See, so God said in Matthew 21 and verse 20. God said, when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree wither away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, he shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if he shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and he be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, the key to this verse, and many like it, is where is our faith? Do we just pray out of habit? Do we pray for Brother Jim and Sister Shirley and Sister Linda and my wife? Do we end our prayer by saying, Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do? Or is this just something we have been taught we need to do? I would never go down to the Fifth Third Bank and say, I'm going to Georgia, I need about $5,000, if I wasn't 100% sure they would give me that $5,000. Now, why would I believe that they would give it to me? Because I have proven myself over the years. Have we proven ourselves to the Lord? If we haven't, then I can see why that we would want somebody else doing our praying.
Amen. Good
morning. But I like insurance. And I like assurance. I know God hears my prayer if I'm in his will. And I trust that if you pray for my wife, you're in his will. Faith in God is that when you say what God gives you to say, you have faith that God will bring it to pass. This sounds like I'm bragging, but I'm not. I was totally surprised. One of our young ladies graduated from high school, and they asked me to do the prayer. And I got up and I just prayed. And the mother of the child, her friend, said, He didn't have nothing written down? No, I didn't have anything written down. I don't write my prayers out before I pray. And I pray from my heart.
Amen.
Now, if you feel comfortable, but I mean, you know, she was shocked because where she went, I guess everybody, I don't know. But prayer is talking to your best friend. God is my best friend. You know, your life can be so much better if you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your friend. He cares for you. As our song leader, pianist, comes, maybe God has spoke to you today.